there. Welcome to the Restoring Fertility Naturally podcast. I'm your host, Mallory Mayer. If you're dealing with fertility challenges, then you're at the right place. I know what it's like to face infertility and feel alone in this journey, wondering what might be wrong and if motherhood is even possible. Fortunately, there are real solutions to be found in the world of restorative reproductive medicine. Join me for interviews with real people, both professionals who are experts in their field and people just like yourself who have walked this road of infertility. You are not alone, and your story matters. Just as a disclaimer, the information presented in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not to be used as a substitute for medical advice from your healthcare provider. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 3 of the Restoring Fertility Naturally podcast. This is your host, Mallory, and I'm excited to just jump right into this episode because it's basically going to be an informal chat about our personal infertility journey. I've been writing about it on my blog, Warrior Life Wellness. You can find that at warriorlifewellness.com. And warrior is like a soldier, warrior. So don't confuse it with warrior, like worrying. Anyway, you can find this information also on my blog. And as I was writing it, I realized that it would need to be not just 2 parts, but 3 parts. So I'm going to do the same for the podcast. This episode is going to be part number 1 of our infertility journey. And basically, I'm just going to talk about like the beginning stages and where many of you might be at. I think that the very beginning, like the first 6 to 12 months, can be some of the most frustrating because you're not quite in that space of we're officially dealing with infertility unless you have a really, really proactive doctor who's like, yeah, you should be pregnant by now, so let's start running tests. About a year ago is when I was starting to get suspicious that something was wrong. So like the spring of 2018, but it was like, I wasn't able to say officially that, yeah, we're struggling, this is a problem. And I didn't talk about it. Ooh, just dropped my phone. I didn't feel like I could talk about it because, well, one, it kind of brought me some anxiety. And 2, it was like, well, people are just going to tell me that you just need to try longer, right? And nobody wants to be told that when you want a baby like now. So as of this recording, this is very end of April 2019, I'm in the 2-week wait of what I think is our 20th cycle. You kind of lose track. I just say it's been over a year and a half. Anyway, I know that you guys know what it's like to be in that 2-week wait and just have some hope, but not too much. And I think at different stages, you have more hope than at other times. So anyway, if you're in that stage right now, I totally get it. I remember what it was like feeling like, yeah, there's something wrong, but I don't feel like I can get help yet. And like, I won't be taken seriously. All right. So let's jump into our personal infertility story. And I think this is really important to help break the stigma, to tell our stories. Like I said, in the first episode, we need to tell our stories. So I'll just start this out by saying I have dreamed of being a mother since I was like 8 years old, at least. I'm the oldest of 4 children. I have 2 brothers and 1 sister. And the age difference, where each of us are about 3 to 4 years apart. And then the age gap between me and my sister, the youngest, is 10 years. So by the time she came along, my mothering instinct had kicked into full gear. I changed diapers, even cloth diapers, you guys, like the old fashioned kind, not the cool kind that they apparently have now. And I remember when my mom was pregnant with my brother Zachary, who's the next one in line, he's 3 years younger than me. And I just remember like feeling so close to him, even while he was in utero, and just being so excited about getting a baby brother or sister. And so I've always wanted to have my own children. But also one of my deepest fears, and I think this came up around when I was a teenager, was that I would never have my own children. Like I would never be able to get pregnant and I would never have my own kids. That's always been a very deep-seated fear. My husband thinks that it's because at age 13, I had really severe scoliosis, and which is a totally another conversation. But when I was diagnosed with it and they realized how bad it was, the doctor said that if you don't get surgery, the surgery where they put rods in your back and they try to straighten out your spine, that I wouldn't be able to bear children because there wouldn't be any room for my uterus. Because when you have scoliosis, not only does your spine curve, your rib cage also twists. And, you know, in your rib cage and your torso, that's where all your vital organs are. And so also your uterus. And so Mark thinks that my fear came from that, even though I did have the surgery and everything is fine. You know, structurally, I should be able to get pregnant. I should be able to carry a baby. But I don't know. I don't know if I really believe that personally. But regardless of the reason, I've had that fear for years without any solid reason to have it. And knowing what I know now, it's almost like, I don't want to say that I knew that I had like premonition or whatever, but my fear was not unfounded. So let's fast forward to our married life. So I was in nursing school. We got married about 5 years ago, and I started nursing school pretty quickly into our marriage. And so during nursing school, we were avoiding pregnancy using a combination of the symptothermal method and the Marquette methods of fertility awareness. I won't go into what those specifically are, but you could find more information about symptothermal from CCL, which is the Couple to Couple League. CCL is a really good resource because they have trained educators, and actually my parents were trained educators at one point. And then the Marquette method came from Marquette University, I believe, and I think it was created by a nurse, but don't quote me on that. I'll put links in the show notes to both of those methods. But I really liked all the cross-checking for avoiding pregnancy. And I also was self-taught, so I never went to any classes, but being medically minded and perfectionistic, honestly, I felt really confident with the three cross-checking methods. So the daily basal body temperature, cervical mucus, and then hormone monitoring using Clear Blue Fertility Monitor. And so the latter one, that third one, that's from specifically Marquette. But I knew that after nursing school, we want to start our family. And I had been working on my personal health for a few years in North Carolina. So when we got married, we were at Fort Hood for like 2 weeks. Mark had been there for 4 years. And then we almost immediately after marrying, like I moved down there for 2 weeks. And then we moved out to Arizona, where we were there for 8 months. And I started nursing prerequisites out there. And then we moved to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And that's where I completed my BSN program. And so while we were there in North Carolina, I found a functional medicine MD. So functional medicine, I've mentioned it in a past episode, is basically like getting at the root cause, looking at your individual biomarkers for disease and illness. I knew that my severe gut dysfunction that I was having at the time could have an impact on my fertility. And while I didn't go to this functional medicine doctor specifically to work on fertility, I knew that what I was working on would benefit my fertility, because our fertility is basically a sign of, can be, not always, but can be a sign of how healthy we are. And everything works together. So obviously our fertility will work together with that. So I definitely wanted to get that, the gut issues and other issues cleared up. I was having some kind of mysterious autoimmune-like issues with my skin and unexplained joint pain. I didn't have rheumatoid arthritis, but my hands would hurt when I would drive, like grip the steering wheel. And it was just like this very like deep in your bones type of ache. So Mark also saw the same doctor and began a supplement regimen as well. And this doctor helped me so much. I started feeling so much better. My gut issues started to resolve, skin issues, joint issues. It was just amazing. And I'm so thankful for that doctor because I feel like he finally got me on the road to good health, because right before we got married, I had had a health crisis. This is kind of going down a rabbit hole, but I lost like 10 pounds within a month. I could hardly eat anything. It would just go right through me. And I'm sure I was like nutrient deficient in many areas. So I was able to gain a little weight back and just be a lot more healthy than I had been. So then in beginning of 2017, so I started nursing school at the beginning of 2016, and then it was my senior year in 2017. And also that year, Mark left for his deployment to Africa. It was supposed to be a whole year and ended up being shorter. But when he left, I did a nutritional reset by following a stricter paleo protocol. So paleo is no grains, no dairy, no legumes. It's very, very popular. You've probably heard of it. And I had been kind of following it before, but I decided I'm going to do a 30-day reset or like a month-long reset and just follow the strict protocol and, you know, just to kind of reset my body for the new year. And surprisingly, some of the food sensitivities that I've been dealing with for years, even through working with the functional medicine doctor, some of these things hadn't cleared up. They cleared up after completing this protocol. And I felt so great. And I wanted to use that year of us being apart to continue bettering my health so that I would be able to easily conceive a baby after he was deployed, after he came back. So, you know, and I was thinking, hey, I'm eating a real food diet. I'm taking really good supplements as directed by a doctor. I had a healthy weight, lots of energy. I almost never got sick. Like, I haven't had a fever in years. I was only on one prescription medication, which is low-dose naltrexone, and I'm still taking it. And it's really, I would say, the best medication ever because it doesn't suppress your body. It's truly functional. It helps your immune system to balance itself so that it's not over or underactive. And I feel so good on that. And yeah, I needed, my one area of improvement that I needed to have was more sleep and less stress. But I mean, at that time, I was in a very rigorous nursing program to get my bachelor's. And, you know, you're not going to have a perfect life when you're going through something like that. But overall, my health was in an awesome place. My GI flares had pretty much stopped. And from the outside, I seemed like a perfect candidate for pregnancy, right? Doesn't it sound like it? I certainly thought that. So then we informally started to trying to conceive over Mark's R&R. And then when he returned from deployment in the fall of 2017, so that was like, yeah, in the fall of 2017. And then when I came to Germany in December of 2017, but I started becoming worried when my fertility charts looked great, but no pregnancy was happening within a few months. And I know that, you know, they say that you need to be trying for 12 months before anybody will see you. And you know what? If you are charting your fertility and you know when your fertile window is, if you're trying like that for 6 months and you're not pregnant, you fit the definition of infertility. You go to your doctor and tell them that. And even better, go to a restorative reproductive doctor, like a NAPRO doctor, and they will take you seriously. I know they will. But anyway, and so like I said at the beginning of the podcast, you know, about a year ago is when, you know, I was starting to get really worried, but felt like nobody would take me seriously yet. And so I started living my life based on my cycle. So if you are dealing with infertility or even are suspecting that you are, you can probably totally relate to this. So it went like this. Your period starts. You have these feelings of defeat. You want to give up. You even have thoughts of like defiant thoughts like, I don't care if I ever get pregnant, which is totally not true, but you're just feeling flippant. So then you have your post period up to ovulation and feelings start to turn positive and you start thinking, you know, we'll try again. Surely this will be our month. It'll happen this time. Like more hope is building up. And then you get to post ovulation and those feelings of positivity continue. And I found that in like that post, that 1 week of post ovulation, my mind was able to focus on non-fertility things, like just living a normal life and not thinking, am I pregnant this month? But then about 1 week into the 2 week wait or your luteal phase, you start having feelings of overanalyzing. You start Googling multiple times a day, searching for XYZ symptom you're having plus pregnancy, early pregnancy. I can't even tell you guys how many times I've done that. Like any little twinge or any little pain or craving or feeling of queasiness, you know, you think, oh, this is it. I'm pregnant. And then for me as well, before I started getting treatment, that is, PMS would usually start around this time. So I would regularly get PMS 7 to even 9 days before my period. And by the way, you guys, this is not normal. If you're having PMS for more than like 2 to 3 days before your period, and or if you're having like debilitating cramps, that's not normal. If you're having anxiety that's so bad that you don't want to go out and interact with people, you have social anxiety, you know, it's preventing you from living your life, that's not normal either. And then you get to a few days before your period starts and you're just holding on to the last threads of hope despite a negative pregnancy test or multiple, like I would do. I mean, raise your hand if you don't even want to know how much money that you've spent on negative pregnancy tests, right? And, you know, maybe you start testing at like 9 days past ovulation or 10, like, you know, it's kind of early, but you can't help yourself. I know what it's like, but I'm in that spot, in that space right now where I'm making myself not test yet. And then also, you know, I would have feelings of denial that the symptoms I was experiencing were actually PMS, not pregnancy symptoms. You know, you're thinking, no, it can't be PMS, it's got to be pregnancy. But then deep down, you know that the inevitable will happen soon. You're going to get your period. And then your period starts and a roller coaster of emotions begins again. And you wonder if you fit the definition of insanity, which is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. You know, even if you haven't dealt with infertility or you're at the very beginning stages of it, you can understand just how emotionally and mentally exhausting the cycle is. And you know what? I'm telling you guys this because while that cycle of emotions is definitely not a healthy way to cope, I want you guys to know that all of us do that. I mean, if you're somebody who deals with infertility and you haven't gone through that cycle, please let me know because you're probably a saint. Okay. You know, you're, no matter how strong your faith is, your trust that, you know, it's all going to work out in God's time, you still go through that cycle and it can be really destructive. And I also will be talking with somebody in the future who addresses the psychological and emotional side of infertility. So I'm really excited about that. But anyway, I get ahead of myself. Something that my husband and I like to do periodically is to plan out the upcoming months or year or even several years. And the best time to do this is at the beginning of a new year, but you really could do it at any time. And at the beginning of 2018, one of our goals for that year was to become pregnant. I know, super nerdy. Anybody else do that? We wrote it on our big whiteboard. But we specified that if conception didn't happen within 6 months, that we would seek help with a nutritionist or some kind of holistic practitioner. And then, you know, you kind of be less invasive at first, you know, do lifestyle and diet changes, that kind of stuff. And then if their guidance didn't work after 6 more months of following their protocol, then we'd start getting help from an OBGYN. But as oftentimes with trying to conceive, I started feeling the need to seek help earlier. I mean, I knew like from my PMS and just these symptoms I was having that, and just looking at my chart and my bleeding patterns and just different things from my chart, I knew, I just had this gut feeling that something was off with me, right? Like if you're in tune with your body and your cycle, you know, even if you're not like professionally trained, you can know when something is off. And PMS definitely indicates that something's off, but there's other signs as well. And yeah, so I mentioned before that 6 months of trying with fertility charting that considers you infertile. And we were fast approaching that. Like we were almost there. And I did wonder if my low body fat had anything to do with not being able to conceive. A few years ago, I learned that it was under 13%, which is very unhealthy. And so I was, one of my goals was to up my body fat. So I started eating more healthy carbohydrates, like more fruit and things like that. And my body fat did increase. And at some point in 2018, it increased to 20%. My minimum goal was 18%. But I did get to 20 last time I checked. And that's great. Like that's ideal, but obviously still haven't gotten pregnant. So it wasn't that. So then in March of 2018, thank goodness for email archives, right? I started communicating with a nutritional therapy practitioner and registered dietitian who specializes in preconception preparation. And she used to have a podcast with another NTP. And so an NTP is basically like a more holistic dietitian. And I really loved her style and her outlook. She was so soothing to listen to. And I thought, I really want to work with this lady. I think she can really help. And Mark was on board with getting help through her, you know, with doing lifestyle changes and stuff. And so I went back and forth via email with the NTP trying to set something up, but it just never worked out. And then in early June, the NTP reached back out to me and I responded that after 7 months of trying to conceive without results, we most likely needed more than just nutritional help. So it was hard to say no to her because I really liked her and I felt like, you know, she probably had some good ideas, but it would have, the cost would have been totally out of pocket. I knew that moving forward with a more medical approach was the right thing to do in our situation. So, so at that point it had been seven months of trying to conceive. So that is part one. That's the beginning of our infertility journey, just kind of like the backstory and all the emotions that go into it. And so in part two, I will talk about how we came into using the Creighton model system of fertility charting and Napa technology. So stay tuned for part two. So I basically will give an introduction to what NAPRO is and what my experience has been with it. So that's pretty much it for this episode. Make sure if you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast. It just takes one click of a button on your phone or a computer. And I would love to hear from y'all about your personal stories. So with infertility. So please hop on over to Instagram and comment below the post for this episode. So for each episode, I'll have at least one Instagram post. Or if you would rather keep it private, like if you're really not ready to share it with the world yet, but you still want to tell somebody, you can email me at restoringfertilitynaturally@gmail.com. And you know, that's confidential. And, you know, I'm not going to post it on the internet or whatever. So if you just want to like get your story out and just see what it feels like to tell somebody else outside, of your husband or your mom, feel free to do that. I'm all ears. I love being able to empathize with other people going through the same thing. It really helps you feel not so alone, because let's face it, this can be, you know, in the world of Facebook pregnancy announcements and baby bump pictures, it can feel really isolating, and you might feel that you're the only person in your social circle that can't get pregnant. And I promise you that you're not. 1 in 8 couples struggles with infertility, but like I said, you know, it can be a taboo or scary thing to talk about. So there's probably other people in your life who feel the exact same way as you, who are just too nervous to say anything. So you got to start somewhere with telling your story, and I'd be honored to be that person. All right, you guys. Well, until next time, take care and hop on over to Instagram, and I'll talk with you in the next episode. Bye, everybody. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Restoring Fertility Naturally podcast. I hope you enjoyed our time together and learned something new for your fertility toolbox. If you did enjoy this episode, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. It only takes a minute and will help get this information to more people seeking help for infertility. Thanks for your support, and I'll talk with you next week.